basically at his head coach. He didn't want to call him out, but did say it was idiotic to start the rookie goaltender in the first game of the season. I'm not sure that was when their season ran wrong or not, but I guess according to the owner, it did. Steve Lloyd from TSN 1200 joins us now. Steve, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I want to talk more about this moose leg. Can I go back to the Bobby Clark and Flynn Flon? Like, how far back does that go?
We've been trying to find out exactly when. I'd like to know how the did somebody, because unfortunately, you know, a lot of people have hit moose in their lives and on the back roads. You know, there's a lot of moose up in Manitoba. And I don't know if maybe that was just where it started from. There was a car accident, there was a moose leg, and it was a celebration. I don't know. We're trying to piece it together. We're trying to find out when it started. Yes, because it's a very unique tradition, to say the least.
I haven't heard that one before. No, I'll say that's the first for me.
Yeah, it was the first time I heard about it as well. But according to many of our texters who have played in the SJ, this is a fairly regular occurrence. So obviously it's one of the best kept secrets in the hockey world, I would say. Eugene Melnyk, is it pretty much writing on the wall that Dave Cameron's done as the head coach at the end of the season?
Well, unfortunately, because listen, I feel bad. Dave Cameron's a good man. I've got a pretty good relationship with Dave, and I do think he is a good hockey coach. But I think he could already sense that there was likely going to be a change. Eugene Melnyk came in, and I'll tell you one thing: he's not boring. Eugene Melnyk is not a boring interview. He's not always available, but he was in town. It was funny. They called the news conference for 9:30. The other morning, and it was all about the 25th anniversary of the Sens next year, reaching out to the community. If anybody has any Sens memorabilia, artifacts over the years, they're trying to collect that to celebrate next year. So the whole news conference is about the past and celebrate and trying to build out some history for a young franchise, which is good. Mm-hmm. But then immediately, all right, that's over. Okay, Alfredson's in the room. Phillips is in the room. The original captain, Laurie Boschman, is in the room as well. Everybody splinters off, and it's one-on-ones, and it's a scrum. Immediately, Melnyk's there, and bang. All the questions immediately turn to a disappointing season and his thoughts, and you know the rest of the story. So he does the scrum that morning, and then he goes on a media tour the rest of the day. He jumps on our pregame show with Ian Mendez. He jumps on with James Duffy on TSN. He jumps on with Terry Marcotte and CTV Ottawa, and everybody's coming back to these comments implying that the coach is gone. He tried to backtrack each time, but every time he tried to get the genie back in the bottle, it got worse. So, long story short, yeah, I really do think there will be a coaching change. It's just how far-reaching it's going to go.
Is coaching the issue in Ottawa, or has management not given him the players to work with?
Well, that is the million-dollar question. I think the coach does take some heat on this, as you know. What's the one thing you can control for the most part in hockey? How your team defends, right? You can teach defense. Scoring goals is the tough part. Well, this team scores goals. I think they're fourth or fifth in the league right now, and they do not defend well, and that's why Paul McLean was let go. And now this is why, in all likelihood, Dave Cameron. And it's also special teams. Special teams are horrendous, PK and power play this season. If they're mediocre on special teams, they're still in the playoff hunt right now. You know, that's how bad it's been here. So these are things that over the course of time, we know that usually falls back to coaching. That's where the finger gets pointed. But the fact that Paul McLean went through the same thing, then you get into the question, mix of players. They changed some of that mix since then. So now the changes, in all likelihood, will be behind the bench and not just with the head coach, I think. But there's going to be some serious decisions made, I think, on different player personnel. They made the Phaneuf trade. They're very happy going forward with their top four in the blue line. But I'm curious to see what kind of a mix they're going to be looking for up front. Maybe a bit of a revamp there in time for next season. And we don't even know for sure if Brian Murray's going to be the general manager or not.
Well, and that's the other question, right? Like, I understand his health, unfortunately for him, has been a real struggle and a battle, and I'm sure it's inspiring in one sense that he's still there. Does he have, you know, everything going, do you think, to do the job for one more season? Is, you know, how much is, and it's very difficult to, you know, to talk about it because of his health issues, but is he doing a good job, or because of his health, does that just get him kind of carte blanche?
Well, I really think that there's two ways, and I'll lump in the hockey operations department. Brian Murray takes over as general manager, coming up from coach. They let John Muckler go after the Stanley Cup final run. So that's 2007. So really that draft year, you don't count. The first full year, their draft year in developing players is 2008. And I looked it up. They've got 18 players in the NHL right now, NHL players from 2008 on, and that's when they took Carlson with their first pick, and pretty good pick there, as we know. But they've drafted and developed quite well under the hockey operations. What's the problem's been, I think, some of the pro evaluations and some of the deals that they've made along the way, and obviously running through coaches like nobody's business. And Brian Murray actually rehired himself briefly after he had promoted John Paddock. And the conventional wisdom of the fans here, and I don't blame them, is like, how many coaches did you get to hire? How many coaches does one GM get to hire? Think of another general manager in the entire league that has hired as many coaches in his current tenure than Brian Murray has. And Brian Murray, you're not around the NHL since 1980 because you're a bad hockey man. But that is the criticism here. How many times do you get a kick at this? So I think really what could be sold to the fan base here, Brian Murray's going to be a part of this organization, whether or not he's got the title of general manager or not. Health permitting, for next season. He wants to be around, and he will be around. Eugene Melnyk has a great relationship with him. If he steps aside and he takes on an advisor role, or he's just president of hockey ops or whatever, and Pierre Dorion moves up and becomes a general manager, he gets to hire his first coach. I think something like that would be a lot easier to sell, but you can explain away each little decision that was made with the coaches, and you can say, okay, I kind of see that. But you can't back away from how many coaches can one man hire in one job, and that's the criticism.
Steve Lloyd joins us from TSN 1200. Is it seven coaches Murray's hired?
All right, let's go through it here. Okay, Brian takes over as GM. He promotes John Paddock. That's one.
Yeah.
Let's count Brian as two.
Yes.
Brian came in just before the trade deadline. After that, he brings in Craig Hartsburg. That's three. Then he promotes Corey Clouston. That's four. Then he goes to Paul McLean. That's five. And Dave Cameron is six.
Okay.
So the next will be seven.
Jeez. Yeah, like a lot of times people like the GM might get three, right?
If you inherit
a guy. But, man, seven, that's – because you're making that many changes, clearly your team's losing more than they're winning.
Well, you know this as well as I do. It's like it doesn't mean like – GMs move on and go into different organizations, and it doesn't mean they're bad hockey people. It runs a course and it doesn't work out. It's just generally speaking, you're right. Maybe you get to hire three coaches, right? Usually by the time you get to three, everybody's saying, it won't get to do another one. You're coming up on seven now when he includes the rehiring of himself. And I say this with all due respect to Brian Murray, and I do think he does a lot of great things in hockey, very savvy, been around a long time. But generally speaking, in a 30-team NHL, it's an anomaly that you get to hire that many coaches in one position in one tenure.
Yeah, it's very strange. So now the other thing is interesting with the general manager is the Hoffman situation. Like all this guy's doing is scoring goals, and it seems like this now the Sens aren't giving him a whole bunch of love. What's happening?
Well, the thing with Mike Hoffman is, and I appreciate that, I think people outside of Ottawa that don't watch the Sens all the time don't fully appreciate. This is just my opinion. I think the warts are warranted when you talk about it. Some of the things that go on, some of the selfish play that happens on the ice. Like, case in point, I don't know if you saw the empty net goal from the Washington game. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. So going down the ice, he thought that the whistle should have been blown. Maybe he thought there should have been an icing. He had position on TGOC, but he pulls up when he has a position because there's going to be some contact and goes into complaining and then scores the empty net goal and all hope is lost for a possible comeback rather than complete the play. You know, like complete your play, and if you have a beef afterwards, and that's the kind of thing I think that really irks them, and they see elements of that in that game. Skill level, off the charts. Not many guys can score from distance without a screen in this league, and Mike Hoffman's one of them. No question about it. But defensive awareness, defensive commitment, and it's not being big and physical. Not everybody has to be. Like, just get in the way sometimes. And I know that drives them nuts, and some of the selfish plays that come along with it. So that's why they were a little hesitant here. But I don't think he's going to be here. I really don't. I don't think Mike Hoffman's going to be here.
Really?
Contract demands are going to be – I think he's going to be asking for a lot of money.
Okay.
He's got a year left until he's an unrestricted free agent. I don't think they're going to want to going to want to marry him, let's put it that way. It's just my hunch. I think Mike Hoffman's going to be shopped this summer. I'll be surprised if he's here beyond next trade deadline.
Okay. Now, when I look at Mike Hoffman, and, you know, you see a player who, you know, did score pretty good in junior, of course, at, I think, 1 year at 52 goals in, like, 62 games, and really just took some time. Not that he's old. He's only 26 years of age, I think. I think he was a 2009 draft pick.
Yep.
But the last 2 years, he's really come on. Like, this is a guy who, you know, in his first, you know, didn't really do much, was in the minors for a bit, and then boom, finally gets an NHL chance, and it's 27 goals last year, and now it's 26 goals this year. Could score more goals this year than he did last year, and just seems to be getting better. What is it that they're so leery of? Does he not skate well, or is the numbers padded by something that I'm not seeing? What is it that they're not in love with?
The games get tougher to play, he fades away. But I guess the most succinct way I can put it, and that's their concern. Mark Stone, the games get tougher to play. He gets better the last 2 years with his second halves. When checking tightens up, Mike Hoffman doesn't not score enough. Doesn't score, and you watch why. We overuse term, right? Go to the dirty areas, whatever, however you want to say it here. But that's not fair to everybody. He is such a skilled player. If you're going to get your goals, who cares how you do it? If you're that skilled. But the problem is they fear that. This is what I believe. I believe they fear, because everybody's trying to win a Stanley Cup long term, right? Like that's the point of this. They think we get into a tough 7-game series. If we're going to pay Mike Hoffman, if he's going to be asking, I don't know, say for $6 million a year, and lock him up on a team that's not going to be a full cap team, do we see him being an impact player? And if you're paid big time money, you have to be. That's what's expected of you. Can you grind it out in a 7-game series when the checking is the tightest it's ever going to be during a hockey season and help us win? And they have reservations on committing to a guy like that long term.
Well, that's fair if those are their concerns. Like, the guy's had two good NHL seasons, which is great. Now, he might ask for $6 million. Lots of guys ask for. Realistically, does Hoffman, do you think, get anything more than 4.5?
Well, that would be my kind of cap, and I think you're thinking the same thing. Just because of the sample size is relatively small still, but he's got so much leverage because he is such a late bloomer, and he's got unrestricted free agency coming up soon here. So, as you know, when you sign a guy that's putting up some numbers like that, you're buying up unrestricted free agent years. So he absolutely has some leverage there, but I just don't know where this is going to go, and you got to factor in he says all the right things, but he can't be happy with getting pasted in arbitration last year. Like, they absolutely won that, like, hands down. That was a knockout punch to get him to get awarded a 1-year deal worth $2 million, and they won big time with Shea Song, but they should have there. But I just wonder how he has felt about that ruling. Things get said in arbitration, and it wasn't even close. In fact, I think the NHLPA, did they not dismiss that arbitrator? As you get to do that after each session. I don't know if that guy's going to be hearing any cases in the league. The NHLPA was so upset about it.
Well, one last one for you, Steve. So if Cameron's out, and man, listening to, and I know that you kind of backtrack on it, but man, when you call your coach an idiot, basically, it's kind of hard to go back on
the writing's on the wall, you would think.
Yeah, you would think so. Who do you think Brian Murray would look for this time? Because he's really gone all, you know, he's gone to veteran guys. He's gone to a guy in Corey Kluson. He's, you know, guys who have never had NHL experience, guys who had a lot. Does he go back to like maybe a Mark Crawford who's wanting to get back in the league, guy with a lot of experience, or does he go young again?
Well, I'll take a bit of a dispute because I was thinking about this myself. Brian Murray's never really hired a guy that's recently been in the league and had great success as a coach. John Paddock, it had been a long time since he was with the Winnipeg Jets, the old Jets, right, when he promotes him from his assistant. Craig Hartsburg had to go back and have success at the world junior level. He hadn't coached the Blackhawks for close to a decade, was it not, by the time he got back. And Kluson had never, and Paul McLean had never, and Dave Cameron had never. Whomever is the next coach has to be a pedigree guy, has to be a guy that has great NHL experience fairly recently. They have to go with an experienced guy this time, I think, for so many reasons. Here's another thing with the Sens and their history, and it's a young franchise, as we know, 92-93. The only coach that has ever coached for the Ottawa Senators and was an outside hire by an organization as a head coach after his time in Ottawa is Jacques Martin. That's it. That's the only guy. Like Rick Bonus became a coach, but that was a promotion on the island a bit after that. So other than Jacques Martin, there's been great instability throughout the history of this organization with the head coaching position. Like Brian Murray was a great head coach, but I always thought he was a better coach than a manager.
Yep.
But he becomes a general manager. But that has always been, really, outside of Jacques Martin, a position of instability since this team, you know, came back in the league in 92-93. This is a massive hire. Like, a lot. Claude Julien's from here. What if Boston Flames out in the first round? Do they get in on that? Ken Hitchcock, what happens in St. Louis? Bruce Boudreaux, what happens in Anaheim? Like, just throwing out some current names that are out there, but it has to be an experienced guy. Has to be a guy who's coached in the league, and it has to be recent.
Should be an interesting offseason for the Senators. One last one for you, because everybody wants to know, because everybody's on the block. So is Erik Karlsson on the block for the number one overall pick?
Oh, no chance. No chance. No. There's two untouchables on this team, in my opinion. That's Erik Karlsson and Mark Stone. Everybody else, you can have a conversation.
Steve, it should be an interesting offseason. Get prepared for Canada Day in April, which will be April 16th, when all the Canadian markets watch closely for the lottery.
Yeah, Thunderdome here in this country, unfortunately.
Oh, man. Could you just imagine if Edmonton wins the lottery on the 16th?
Oh, I feel bad for you, Jason, because you're going to get all the abuse, you know?
Oh, I wouldn't know, buddy. I would just laugh, say, I have nothing to do with it. I don't care for the owners. I'm not part of the owners. I have absolutely nothing. And you know what? All it means is Albertans are lucky. Good for us.
Yeah, but one thing we know, people on social media don't care about that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Anyway. Well, you know, you can always the mute button's one of the best inventions ever.
It is, isn't it? It's so good. You don't even know I don't care, but I don't.